We have about one item at this 8:15 meeting, and it is a public hearing at CRHMFA Home Buyers Fund, discussion and possible action relative to a public hearing pursuant to Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986. The code will be held by the CRHMFA Home Buyers Fund, a joint exercise of powers authority. And this is item number 5 in our book.
Continues on.
Oh, does it continue on?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to read it all, but.
Well, I should. Thanks, John. I read this the other day. I forgot. And I got to turn my book around. Originated and existing under the Virtue of California Government Code, Section 6500, the authority on behalf itself as issuer of the bonds and the County of Amador, the county as representative of the authority to consider the proposed issuance by the authority of its single-family housing bonds. Spin my book around. So, with that, we have a presentation from... Please come on up. State your name for the record.
Morning. My name is Peter Train with Cornfield Home Buyers Fund, also with Regional Council of Rural County, RCRC. The purpose of the public hearing is to be held in accordance with Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, also known as TEFRA. TEFRA, the purpose of the public hearing is to consider the proposed issuance by the authority of the Texas and taxable single-family housing bond. The maximum face amount of bond expected to be issued would not exceed a total of $750 million. The purpose of issuing a bond is to provide funds by the authority will be used to finance mortgage loans for acquisition and construction of single-family owner-occupied residents to be located within member and associate member counties. Proceeds of the bonds would be used to provide funds for construction and acquisition loans to pay the cost of issuance of the bonds and the funds a reserve to fund a reserve fund. The bonds will limit obligations of the authority payable solely from proceeds derived from investment agreement and other assets pledged under the master trust indenture related to the bonds. The authority is not obligated to make payments of the bonds from any of the assets other than the revenue and the other money held by the trustee pursuant to the master trust indenture and specifically held for such purpose under the terms of the master trust indenture. The bonds are not a debt of the state of California or the state of California is not liable for the payment of the bonds. The underwriter would be George K. Bond & Company. The bond counsel would be Kutak Rock. Notice of the public hearing was published on December 21st, 2012 in the Amador Ledger dispatch for general circulation in the Apple jurisdiction. No written comments have been received to be incorporated into our records.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of board members before we open the public hearing? Supervisor Novelli.
May I call you Peter, sir?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you stated $750 million?
Up to $750 million in tax-exempt taxable bonds.
Okay. Over 3 years, correct?
Over the 3 years, correct.
Okay, and the three criteria again are, one is going to be the first home-time buyer within a three-year period, right?
Well, the requirements for tax-exempt bonds in general is you have to be a first-time home buyer. There's an income limit, which is usually no more than 120% of the area median income, and a sales price limit, which is a FHA-stated limit.
Right, but my question is, when I talked to you yesterday, why is it that a person after 3 years can requalify for one of these?
Why don't they just... This is a very good question. The IRS states that. So pretty much what the IRS considers as a first-time home buyer is anyone that has not owned a house within the last 3 years. So that's who they consider a first-time home buyer.
Okay, thank you.
Sir, could you restate the name of the individual actually issuing the bonds, the George K.?
George K. Baum is the underwriter.
How's the last name spelled?
B-A-U-M.
B-A-U-M, okay.
B-A-U-M, Craig.
Thank you.
Any other questions from board members?
Yes, I have one.
Can you address just the liability to Amador County? Is there any liability?
Very good question. There's no liability to the state, Amador County, or any of our members. Pretty much the way the bond structures work is the bond is issued. There's mortgage revenue bonds associated with mortgages, and the mortgages are backed by the federal government. Therefore, there's really no liability for Amador County, any of our members, or CHF as well.
These aren't mortgage revenue bonds that are associated with junk bonds or anything like that. They're backed by the full faith and security of the United States of America.
That's correct.
You know, I have a question a little further along that line. What about if the federal government reneges on their commitment, who's responsible then for the bond?
It's pretty much there's the bondholder, which is the investor of the bonds, and then there's the FHA, HUD. HUD pretty much insures the bond, and pretty much if the bond goes delinquent, the federal government has to step in. That's pretty much the agreement we have with the lenders and with FHA and HUD.
I heard that, but what I'm asking is, what about the federal government denying to make good on that bond?
It's not the bond that the federal government has a part of. It's actually the loan itself. So let's say if a loan specifically goes delinquent, FHA would cover the difference or they would buy that loan back.
So you're saying the federal government is essentially buying the mortgage-backed securities once the bonds have been sold and the mortgages have been made?
That's correct. Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes. Peter, sure. After talking to you and reading the information that we have here, the number one thing that this benefits from anybody would be the first-time home buyer, correct?
Right. With this program, or with taxes and bonds in general, there's two type of programs you could obtain. One is a tax-exempt bond financing program, which is a first-time home buyer for financing. For a first-time home buyer that wants to purchase a house with very little out-of-pocket, you know, we help with the down payment closing costs, and is basically usually below market rate as well. So that's one of the programs. Another program that we could use with this bond is called a mortgage credit certificate, the MCC program. And that program is pretty much a tax credit for the life of the mortgage. Our tax credit right now is a 20% tax credit. Amory County is part of that. And basically, the way that program works is, let's say a borrower pays $10,000 in mortgage interest in the first year or any year. They will get 20% of that back, dollar for dollar, every single year, as long as they own the house and not sell the house. It's a very, very good program for first-time home buyers. Well, with MCC, it's more popular recently. I say within the last 4 years. We issued $70 million in loans the last 2 years.
And 3 years ago, Sutter County approved this on behalf of counties. Can you talk about the liability? We've already addressed that a little bit, the liability to counties. But basically, Amador County is doing it because I'm the chairman of the CHF program for RCRC. Mm-hmm. Similar to what happened 3 years ago, where it went to their county, where Larry Munger was the president of RCRC. Within those confines, that's the only reason Amador County is doing it, because we're acting as the representative, I guess you would say, for all counties that belong to RCRC as well as the associates.
Absolutely. It makes sense having our chair and the county that the chair sits in represent CHF. And basically what would happen is we have to renew this TEFRA application every 3 years. So 3 years from now, whoever sits in the chair of CHF and RCRC will ask that person in that county to represent and sponsor us.
Excuse me. This has been in existence for what? 10, 12 years, something like that?
It's been in existence with RCRC. We started issuing tax-exempt bonds in 1993.
Yeah.
It's been around for a while. It's not. It's very similar to what CSAC does, and the money that we rolls back into that saves us on our dues, at least with CSAC. So then money can be well spent with our lobbying efforts down in Sacramento. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but it does save on dues for the county. I don't know how RCRC does it anymore, but I know CSAC's that way.
I'm not aware of that. I know CSAC does a lot of multifamily bond deals. This is more of a single-family type bond
deal. Yeah.
So I could look into that.
But the revenue from this housing program, and as well as all the other housing programs, some of that can be shifted over to RCRC to...
Different.
I call it a subsidy, but it's money that goes into the program to help keep the cost to counties low to be members of RCRC.
Absolutely, that's exactly, you're right, Supervisor Forster. Basically, what would happen is CHF works for RCRC, and there's revenue that's made. CHF pays RCRC, and basically what would happen, RCRC will go and lobby on our members' behalf.
And $750 million sounds like a big bond issuance, but when you look at some of the other very large companies, it's actually small in comparison to some of them.
Compared to the multifamily deal, this is pretty much nothing. Multifamily deal, one single issuance could be $250 million, $300 million. And this is over $750 million is a large number. We never issue that much in our lifetime. What we normally do is the last 2 years, we probably issued $200 million.
You know, a question I'd have, as far as whoever issues, like the George K. Baum Company, do they get paid on what's actually issued or for what's put forth is $750 million?
George K. Baum is the underwriter. So basically what would happen if we issue a bond, George K. Baum would get a certain percentage of how the transaction work. They will get an upfront issuer fee.
Of the $750 million or
of
lesser amount?
Of the contract amount, whatever that amount be. It could be $500,000 for a transaction. It could be a couple hundred thousand dollars. It all varies, and it's negotiable.
So nobody's paid predicated on the $750 million?
Absolutely not. This is pretty much just saying that we need approval to apply for bonds. The fact of the matter is we may not issue a bond for the next couple of years. Right now, the bond market is not going too well. The bonds that we had in the past was actually 2 years ago that we're still using. So it's just a procedure and protocol that we want to do to be prepared when the bond market does come back.
Any other questions from board members?
I have one more, I believe, and that is how are the securities rated once the mortgages are made, bundled, and then sold? I presume when you say the federal government is buying these mortgage-backed securities, is it the Federal Reserve?
It's FHA, Ginnie Mae. They'll buy the loan back. And how is it rated? Our bonds are usually rated AAA.
So there's a stringent enough criteria on the borrowers at the writing of the mortgage that they can be rated
Absolutely.
AAA.
All of our mortgage deals is A paper, full doc, none of the subprime. It's a first-time home buyer that pretty much just lacked the down payment assistance and falls within a certain income limit that we want to provide and help with.
Okay.
Is there any administration fee with these bonds, and who gets the fee?
There isn't an administration fee per se. There's an ongoing issuer fee, and it's all how the bond is structured. Every deal is different from the next deal. There's not a single way of issuing a bond. There's really no administration fee. There's a fee to do the program. So if a borrower wanted to utilize a program, usually we'll charge them a certain amount of fee. Like, for example, the mortgage credit certificate, a borrower that wants to qualify and does qualify, and we issue an MCC, we'll charge them $350. And that's our administration fee to do the work and all that.
Okay.
But for issuing the bond, it costs CHF money to issue the bond.
Okay. Thank you.
With that, I'll open up the public hearing. Anyone from the public wish to address? Is there a sign-in sheet there for her? Yeah, I think that's important. If you could sign in, Sherry.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Due to the fact that we only got notice of this since we didn't read the notice in the newspaper over Christmas, Thursday. So I was told I could ask a number of questions in regards to this. It's okay, because I didn't have a chance to get a hold of you. One of them, how are these bonds going to be sold? Is it going to be negotiated or competitively bid?
Well, the way the bond work is pretty much it's pulled into different Ginnie Mae pools and it's sold in the open market. And is it competitive? It's usually there's a prime pricing for them. So it's not sold under par. It's actually above par because these loans are so securitized with good loans and not subprime loans. So, yes, they're usually bid higher.
They're bid competitively in the open market?
Absolutely, in the secondary market.
Now, you were saying that they're secured. Is that who's paying for the insurance to make this security?
FHA, HUD.
HUD is paying for it? I thought it said in your document that CHA was.
No, with the loan, the way the loan structure work is, if you get any mortgage loan, well, what happened is a mortgage insurer has to come in and step in. For a conventional type program, it could be MGIC, Ginnie Mae, that kind of stuff. With FHA loan, which what we do, a majority of our loan programs FHA, so HUD backs it up, HUD and FHA.
Okay. Since HUD works with public monies, our tax dollars, it's still a public program going in to the mortgage business with public dollars. Whether we pay at the local level or we pay at the state level, it's still an expansion of government purpose going into the mortgage business, which competes and has competed with private enterprise. you were talking about the financial team. You've got, who's the bond trustee?
The bond trustee is Kutak Rock. That's been working with us for the last, since inception, since 1993.
Okay. You spoke a little bit about the default remedy. Now, I just heard that the Federal Reserve is buying all the mortgage-backed securities because of the fact that we've had so many problems in the mortgage industry and foreclosures which started us into this recession, which I call a depression. And therefore, it's another huge risk to taxpayers. how can we get a copy of the official bond disclosure statement from the last issue?
It's a public record.
Do you have one?
I don't have one with me, but I could provide one for you.
Okay. And along with that, a copy of the tax certificate. I would like that, too.
That shouldn't be an issue.
Okay.
Most of the information is actually on Bloomberg. You could look up our name and also on ELMA, which is pretty much who we report to for IRS and CEC. But I could provide that information for you.
Okay, that would be good. What are your rules and regulations for lender participation?
Lenders have to be direct lenders. We don't deal a lot with brokers per se. It has to be a direct lender. And basically the way our program is structured is there's a master servicer and a direct lender. A direct lender is underwrite the loan, close the loan with the borrower, then sells that loan to the servicer. And the servicer, what they would do is they would service the loan and package it and sell that to the secondary market for us.
Who is the servicer for you?
U.S. Bank in the past, City Mortgage in the past. Again, this is just a proposal of doing a tax-exempt bond program. But when we do a bond program, then that will be announced.
So we're asked to approve something before we know who's going to be involved.
Correct, because there's an open market, so we want to make sure we get the best deal for the borrowers.
Who will hold the reserves for the security of these bonds?
Our trustee, Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo? Who receives the investment earnings on the funds?
Same thing. Wells Fargo is our trustee. They will manage our accounts and our payables and everything.
Well, I know it sounds like these are all for a good purpose. We're going to help, you know, the poor home buyer first time. They get 3% of their down payment of the cost of the house. They get a lower service rate. And I really ask and for you to consider the fact that with government at all levels being requested by all types of people for money, our monies, for help, it's not only business that is asking in joint public-private partnerships, but it's private people now coming in asking for support and part of our tax dollars. I'm really concerned with the fact that the purpose of government has been expanded into almost every area of private business. There's a government program that's going to do it. And I haven't seen the government programs work too exceptionally well. We have a number of foreclosures in the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae loans, mortgage loans, where we have these foreclosures, a number of them in our county. And it's hurt a lot of seniors because of that fact where they can't sell properties in order to stay above board. And their wealth has been taken away by the actions of our government. I know it's all good purposes that everybody comes to government for the monies, but I just want you to remember that with little chicken hatchlings coming out of the egg, your first desire is to help them get out of that egg, and they're cracking. And so if you do help them, you actually end up killing them because they need that struggle to get strong enough to be on their own. I really wonder if we're helping people who really can't afford it, who haven't struggled enough to save enough money for a down payment, if we later get them in worse trouble by having to go into foreclosures. Now, this bond practice situation has been going on with government getting involved with RCRC or CSAC. I didn't think that was their main purpose, to become investment counselors or brokers or whatever you want to call you guys. I thought it was to lobby to do the benefit for the counties and to go into the investment business of brokerage. I don't know how Security and Exchange covers government, but I know they do cover private brokerages and underwriters. But anyway, it's a direction our government has been going for a while, and we're all broke. So with realignment coming into being in our county, I would suggest that the purpose of government, again, is to protect person and property, not to go into the mortgage business or the investment business. We had a huge default in 1984 and 1985 when the government treasurer on its own decided he was going to invest lots of money down in Orange County. With that, the Investment and Debt Advisory Commission made some rules for governments which this is legal, but it's private activity bonds going to private people. If we want to invest, maybe it'd be good to invest in public purpose, where all the public pays, all the public gets to use it, if you're going to do that kind of investment. But the rules were for security, for government funds, not to do risky investments or become an investment counselor. It's good stewardship to invest some monies when you have excess cash, but to go into business competing with the private industry is hurting our country, and that's why we're all broke. Anyway, I also wonder why we have QTAC Rock, LLP, is not registered with our Secretary of State's office, which you're supposed to do. And unfortunately, to do business in California, you're supposed to be registered.
I believe they are. They're a very large company.
Well, I'm going to hand this to you.
Okay. Thank you.
I just want to add a few things, if that's okay.
Sure.
RSRSC, our main focus with RSRSC, which Supervisor Forster know, is providing and helping our rural member counties. That's the inception of the company. That's what we are here to do. CHF is a organization that's under RSRSC that helps financing. It was created basically to help first time home buyer people that don't have the down payment closing cost assistant, that have good credit and will qualify for the loan to obtain a home and obtain their first home, and just need that extra help to do that. FHA loan is 80% of the market right now. So FHA HUD back up 80% of the market is because of the way the whole world is working. Conventional loan back then, when the market crashed, was a lot of subprime loans. And subprime meaning no, you don't have to have full docs. It doesn't have to be a full A paper type loan. There's income that they really don't look into. They just add in there. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. This is a type of any loan. If you take out FHA loan in general or a HUD loan, there's no mortgage out there, period. We won't have a mortgage lending world. But the way our program work is, it's backed by FHA. It's
I don't think that's true. Because I just got
all right. He was speaking there.
Let him speak.
Okay. I just want to ask you for the investment agreement that you have as well.
Sure. I'll give you my card and you can get a hold of me and then we could.
Okay. Where's your card?
Anyone else from the public?
Move to close public hearing.
Second.
Motion by Forster, seconded by Novelli. Close the public hearing. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? I doubt it's ordered. Gentlemen, you have.
You have a question as far as what Mrs. Curtis brought up, as far as the QTAC Rock LLP, why is it not registered with the Secretary of State if they're doing business in the state?
Well, do we know they're not listed? I mean,
you believe everything you see on the internet?
Well, no. When you go
Bonjour.
When you go to California Secretary of State's website, I would think it should be there.
Yeah. Well,
I'd appreciate that.
Is that the correct spelling? K U T A K.
I move to approve the resolution of the Board of Supervisors approving the issuance of qualified mortgage bonds of the CRHMFA Home Buyers Fund.
Motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Forster, second by Klass. Do go ahead and approve the resolution.
Under discussion, I'd be kind of curious about, I think if they're going to RCRC, they should be a qualified business, but I would think it should be under the Secretary of State as far as a business, if they're doing business. Craig, could you shed a little bit of light on that? Shouldn't that be the case?
I believe so, but I haven't looked it up. If the board wanted to take a recess, we could spend a few minutes. If not, we could do it after the fact and report back to the board.
Or subject to.
Board's pleasures.
Well, I'm wondering if LLPs have to be registered with Secretary of State versus an LLC.
I know they have listings.
LLP is not a corporation.
That's right. They have listings for corporations and LLCs. I don't know how LLPs are organized and tracked and reported. That's correct.
Well, I believe the statement was made today by the presenter that it was listed with the State Secretary. I believe Peter mentioned that it was listed.
We can't hear you out there. You got to come back up to the mic.
I don't believe that a sole proprietorship needs to be registered with the Secretary of State. I've got a corporation and an LLC myself, and yes, you have to file those filings with the Secretary of State, but a sole proprietor or a partnership between two people doesn't need to be.
I think they're legal to do business in California. I don't have any doubts with that. They're a huge attorney firm, and I'm pretty sure they cover all their bases.
That's the same thing, John. When my brother and I were in business in a partnership, we didn't have to do the filing.
Right. If it's a partnership, there's no filings with the state.
And I don't believe that
utilization or whatever.
And I don't believe law firms have to register in that way. I'm sure they have. If they're licensed to practice in the state, there they can practice.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any other questions and discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. It's ordered unanimous. So with that, we're going to go into closed session. We'll be back at 9 o'clock.